The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey, everybody. Welcome again to Afternoons with Mike. Today, I'm just a little bit excited. I have sitting with me in our studio a man that I've known about. I have watched him perform. I have watched him worship. I have been aware of his name, as his name is a namesake for one of the country's most well-known early Christian groups. And you'll recognize the name when I mention who this is. I am honored to have Thurlow Spurr as my guest today. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
This is a real treat. Now, we've already gotten to know each other before we begin this recording. And my goodness, I had to stop our chat just to get going because this is too much fun, as I've heard years ago, to get to talk to somebody. And I can honestly say that it's rare that I get to interview people that I consider to be truly legendary in the world, and that's what I would consider you. You are truly, when people think of music, if they know anything about church music, if they know anything about contemporary Christian music, you were there at the very, very beginning of all of that. And I want to ask you about that as we go, but just a little bit of background. Again, a real pioneer in contemporary Christian music. You were the founder of Concert Ministries, and you're still active today doing those wonderful programs around the country. You're a former director of worship and music at Calvary Assembly in Orlando, and you were also the director of music for the PTL Club. And those that are older that remember the what I would consider to be wonderful heydays of early Christian TV when it came out, you were again a pioneer in all of that. And, you know, of all the people in the world that got to be front and center and playing Christian music, lively, God-honoring Christian music on live TV, that's what you did.
Every day.
Every day, 5 days a week, live TV.
Yeah.
Now, this is, you know, you're in a studio with me here. This is not like that. You had a live audience, and you had always a different set of guests, not just one guest, but my goodness, I couldn't be more thrilled to have you in our humble abode here today.
Well, I'm glad to be here. I can tell you already we've had such a good time talking, as you mentioned, but it's a journey. It's been an adventure, and it is not over. That's the good thing.
That is
it's
the
not
great
over.
Thing.
Yeah, it's you know, God is here. Here's how I look at it. You know, there are four quarters in a football game, and if you apply that to life, the expectancy, life expectancy in the United States is just about 80 years. So if you divide that into quarters, 20,
there you go.
You come to 80.
Yeah, fourscore. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But did you know that there is one Super Bowl that went into overtime, and the team that was behind at the end of the fourth quarter, won in overtime. Mm-hmm. In fact, they were hopelessly behind the Patriots. And Tom Brady brought them back in overtime. They tied, then in overtime they won.
Mm-hmm.
And so I happened to be in overtime. and it's, but it is so wonderful to just keep winning for the Lord.
Yes.
It is, music is a universal language. It crosses all barriers, instrumentally for sure, and vocally as well. People have time to get the lyrics, or they have translated, or they put them up on the screen, but it's a universal language. And so we have the opportunity of using that. Bill Gaither said something that was, I thought, very interesting. He said, you know, God created the heavens and the earth. He did it in 7 days. The seventh day he rested. Mm-hmm. On the eighth day, do you know what he did?
He went back to work.
He went back to work. But he said, now sing.
Yes. Yes. So I think that's marvelous.
So, you know, when you feel called to it, it's a lifetime calling. And I've had a lot of opportunities to kind of sit back and take it easy and enjoy, you know, life in Florida, mm-hmm. especially. Mm-hmm. But we've chosen to stay on the firing line.
Well, and you're doing that.
Well, it's a joy to find people. And a friend of mine whose name is Larnell Harris, who came through our organization. In fact, we booked and managed him for 50 years until he retired. And
one of the greatest singers of all time. My goodness.
He is marvelous. He is still today. Mm-hmm. He has every note. But he's had some physical problems other than his voice that have caused him to ease up. But we had the joy of working with him for 50 years.
Wow.
And,
you know, when he was in Orlando in 1980, I want to say either 85 or 86 for the Jesus Festival.
Yes.
I was privileged to introduce Larnell at the Jesus Festival. I was asked to be the MC that day.
Oh,
and
my
I got to introduce Larnell Harris. So I got to meet him backstage and all. Loved his singing with Sandy Patty, More Than Wonderful. Oh, it truly was more
than
wonderful.
I've just seen Jesus, mm-hmm. you know. Well, fast forward here, just as a sidelight, I probably wouldn't have remembered this, but he and Sandy and Dino are going to be on the show on the 4th of December virtually.
Really?
Yes, as well as the Bill Gaither vocal band will be on. So we've got a mixture of live and virtual, but it'll all be live mm-hmm. at Calvary Assembly on the 4th.
Now, that event is called Christmas Is 2.
Yes.
And it's the second of these big events. Like you said, it's not a concert. Mm. It is a full event. And this is going to be at Calvary Assembly, Calvary Orlando, December 4th. The premier holiday event of this season, without a doubt. And, you know, you can give us all the details as we go along on this. But you mentioned that people, when they get out of the car, it's going to start immediately. They park the car and boom, this thing's underway, right?
It is. As a matter of fact, we have the famous Salvation Army band locally here. And there are about 25 to 30 people in that. And so that music will just go everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then right alongside of that is a petting zoo for the kids. And then you move into the lobby and Walter Rodriguez.
Oh, I can't believe I'm going to miss that. Oh, my goodness.
He is a world class guitar player.
Yes, he is.
And of course, with your background and of playing, you understand yep. how good he is.
It's not fair, honestly.
but he is so good, and he was with us last year, and you know he stopped the show. I mean, you know, there are certain things that people say, wow. And he just was a wow. And so we had him back again this year. Last year we had him virtually, but this year he'll be here in live.
Oh, that is so great.
He will play an hour before the concert starts in the lobby so people can get up close and hear him and see him and meet him mm-hmm. and so forth. Well, then you go up the escalators to the main auditorium. And on one side of the escalators, a world-class violinist who would be playing. On the other side is going to be Santa Claus and the elves for a photo op.
Mm-hmm. Kids will love that.
And as you walk in the auditorium, the thing that greets you is four carolers in Dickens costumes, and they'll be caroling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is before the overture. This is before it begins, the show begins. And then, of course, the overture, we got a world-class bell ringers that are going to participate throughout the program, and they will do a concert during the intermission. So we've got aerialists, we've got, of course, a wonderful band slash orchestra, four trumpets, four trombones, two reeds, and six violins,
oh,
and
man.
Piano, and rhythm instruments. So it is just a marvelous potpourri of wonderful Christmas music. Then we go to the intermission, and after intermission, we're going to take a trip to Bethlehem.
Mm.
And we'll visit what is called a reunion. And this reunion is 3 years after Jesus was crucified. And many of the people whose lives he dramatically changed will be at this reunion and will give the pictorial story of what had happened to them.
That's marvelous.
For example, the boy who provided the loaves and fishes,
mm-hmm,
that fed 5,000 men plus the women and children, the lady who touched his hem of his garment,
mm-hmm,
the family of the thief on the cross, who Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise."
That's wonderful.
And so they tell their story with accompanying music that's relevant to what they had to say.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all going to take a trip to Bethlehem.
That sounds marvelous. And that's going to get everybody into the Christmas spirit for sure early on in December. And boy, I think people are ready for a Christmas this year. Now, you know, last year, Thurlow, my wife and I, on Christmas Eve and Christmas, we were at home, mm-hmm, with COVID.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my.
Those were my two sickest days.
Oh.
So you can't imagine how excited I am for this year's Christmas celebration. But to think on your event, you're going to be able to, on the 4th of December, you're going to be able to light that fire for people in their heart for all month long. It's just going to be great.
Well, it's called Christmas Is, and if you think about it, there are so many things about Christmas. First of all, Christmas is fun. I mean, it's a fun time of,
mm-hmm,
the year.
Memorable.
It's things that you will have in your memory bank for your whole life. Secondly, it's food. I love the food of Christmas. Give me some pumpkin pie.
There you go. Got to get the pumpkin pie out here,
yeah,
and the apple crisp and all of that.
All of that.
Yeah.
So it's food, and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Another F word. It's family, of course.
Mm-hmm.
As you and your wife celebrated in your sickness.
Yes. We did celebrate, and my own children, who were all very musical, came out, and while they could not come in the house, they stood out on our sidewalk.
Oh.
And they sang carols.
How nice.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Well, and it's And last but not least, it's forever.
Mm.
Christmas is forever.
It is.
It will never, no matter who doesn't like it or who wants to bury it or who wants to say it's irrelevant, it'll be forever. It will stand. The birth of Jesus will stand until the Take us home.
That's right. When we're with him.
We'll be with him. And I, they may celebrate it in heaven. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But it would be okay with me.
It's okay with me. Yeah. It would be okay with my wife that if Hallmark movies make it.
There you go.
Oh, my goodness. That's funny. But, seriously, what you're talking about is so true. And one of the most beautiful pictures in the Word of God to me is the fact that throughout eternity, his glories, the Bible says, will be unfolding. So it's not like once we get there, we see it all.
Oh.
Forever, throughout not just a million years, but for all time, the glory of God will continue to be unfolded before us.
I believe that. And, it was interesting. This past little bit, there have been a lot of musicians, world-class Christian musicians who have passed on.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph Carmichael, just a few days ago, who probably affected my life more than anybody, went to be with the Lord.
Yes.
And there have been just people, Ron Huff, who was a great musician and wrote so many wonderful arrangements. He actually did the orchestration and all the vocal for Alleluia,
mm-hmm.
which was the biggest musical that's ever, been written in gospel field.
Mm-hmm.
And Kurt Kaiser passed on and McCracken, who was president of Word Records, who pioneered the recording
mm-hmm.
business on a large world scale.
Right.
So many of them have passed on. And I mused today, I got an email or a text from one of my friends whose name is Cam Floria. He started the Continentals.
Yes.
And they're now in many, many countries of the world. And another friend of mine, whose name is John Stemkowski, John started the Celebrant Singers. And so the two of them are going to be at a memorial service of our combined attorney, a Christian attorney who unfortunately had COVID and did not make it.
Mm.
And so they're going to be there tomorrow. And I told them, and they reminded me of all the people that had gone. And I said, Ralph's up there and Kurt Kaiser and Ron Huff and all of these people have gone and they're getting everybody ready for the three of us to come and finish it off.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
They laughed and, we got to have a little bit of fun. But anyway, preaching will end when we get to heaven. There'll be no more need for, we'll have the real thing.
We'll have the real thing, and he's going to be there with us. He will be our light. Mm-hmm. You think about auditoriums. You've been in a lot of auditoriums.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to be the light of our area.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
just going to be amazing.
Yeah.
My guest today is Thurlow Spurr. We'll be back with him in a moment. The group that I mentioned early on in this segment that he founded, the Spurlows, we'll be talking about that, the early days of contemporary Christian music that he helped to pioneer. All of that is ahead here on Afternoons with Mike. Don't go away. I'll be right back. It is indeed an honor that I will always remember to have this man as my guest today, Thurlow Spurr, the Spurlows, and Festival of Praise. These are just a few of the works that Thurlow has done through concert ministries. His wife is very active in performance, and her name is Kathy, and you've probably heard about her as well. But Thurlow, going back to those early days, when you were starting off in music, first of all, why don't you back up a little bit and tell me a little bit about your background? How did you hear about the gospel, and how did you come to know the Lord yourself?
Well, my dad was a minister. He he gave us a great, my mom as well, gave us a great training, that taught us how to sing, made sure we had trumpet lessons. My brother and I and my sister played the trombone, believe it or not. And so we early on did traveling and with him, and he had a Bible Congress, a conference in the summertime for kids in New York. And so I got a good start. I went to college. I went to Wheaton College and also to Bob Jones University. And at the university, I was the only person that up until that time who had a musical group to direct. And we were on the radio. It was called Missions on the March. And
what was the group? What did it consist of?
Well, it was a choral group. It was about 16 singers in it. And so that was my taste. But what really, we had a lot of music. We're surrounded with music. We're involved with music and so forth. But I went to a Fred Waring concert. Fred Waring was at the time, he was sponsored by GE, and he was the highest paid musician in the United States. And he had a touring group. And I went to see him. I think it was in North Carolina. And I went to see him, and I sat there just with tears in my eyes. Because I said, why doesn't somebody do this with gospel music? Mm-hmm. It was so beautiful. The lighting was wonderful. The orchestra was marvelous. The singers were, many of them were Miss Ohio or Miss Indiana or Miss America. And so he had the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all secular music. I think maybe he did one gospel song, but one hymn. And but it was just marvelous. And I sat there and said, why doesn't somebody do this? And nobody did. So I
you
picked
did.
Up.
You did it. It was the Lord's will for you to do it. My goodness.
I am so indebted to have gone to that concert because, honestly, it changed my life.
Yeah.
It changed my life. And I said, and he, so this is a statement that he made. He said, the most beautiful sound in the world is the sound of people singing well together.
Mm-hmm. I think that's beautiful. I agree. And, you know, I've heard a lot of people say that one of their favorite things is when they go to a men's conference and listen to a group of men who can sing. And there's just something about it. But I mean, when you have an auditorium, men and women, boys and girls, all of them singing, and the way that God has just gifted so many people in this world to do, like some of the groups you've mentioned, like the carolers that will be there, where they sing these intricate harmonies.
Yes.
And no, even without instrumentation, it's to me, I love instruments. But I tell you, it is really wonderful to listen to four-part harmony.
Yes, and more. You know, there's a wonderful group here in Florida called Voctive. I don't know if you've heard them or not.
But I have.
They are just marvelous.
Mm-hmm.
And we have put together for this show on the 4th of December, Christmas is, we put together a six-member group that are called the Thurlow Spur Singers, and they're all studio singers.
Oh, that's going to be wonderful.
And they just break into six parts and counterparts and all kinds of things that they're capable of doing.
Mm-hmm.
But they're a part of this event at Calvary Assembly and Calvary Orlando. And so it started... My choral experience started in college, and of course that was limited. We did a radio program and so forth. But my brother and I went to the same school, and they said we were the most requested extension gospel music people that had ever been at school. So whether we were, I don't know. You know, that's what they said. But we had that wonderful experience of going. In fact, we went way too much. It interfered with our college courses.
I can't imagine it not interfering, because you were giving a lot of time to all the practice and the rehearsals and
travel and going. We just went everywhere. But anyway, then I became minister of music in a large church in Detroit, Michigan. And from there, I went to a church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And there, they invited me to do the music for Youth for Christ locally. And the president of Youth for Christ at the time came to our rally. It's called a Youth for Christ rally, Saturday night, every Saturday night. And he heard what we did. I'd started the Spurlows, and we had other people. We had a wonderful band instrumentally. It was great. And he said, we're starting a music division in Youth for Christ International. Would you be interested in coming and heading it up? And I prayed about it, and the Lord opened that door, and I went, and we began the whole music part of that international program.
Wow.
That went around the world, and we published music for them, for that age group to sing and play. And so then we went, then I organized the Spurlows as a traveling group, and we started, it got so busy that I had to leave Youth for Christ to keep this, all of the things going, the booking going, and we were on the road full time. Mm-hmm. So that led to other things, Calvary Assembly and then PTL and then Festival of Praise we started. And I think Bob Pickett, your special
friend. He's a dear friend of mine, yes.
Yeah. He became the director of that, and he's got the statistics on it, but it was 12 years of just every night in a different place, and television was involved and everything, and that it was just truly, it was before the worship thing hit.
Yes.
You know? But it was a preparation for it. It really was, and it involved a lot of people.
You know, when you think about that, you're so right. It would be right before what we now know as the worship movement that started, where God just did a great awakening in the hearts of his people. But before all of that, the music that we were worshiping God with, a lot of it was being impacted and being influenced by you.
Wow.
And your style, it became, I mean, you took, when there wasn't something like it, you took the style of choral music and added with it marvelous instrumentation, this whole thing of live feel that was just so exciting. And you did that. And that was like the beginnings of what turned out to be then the new direction for contemporary Christian music. Back in the day when I was young, we were playing, they called what gospel music was contemporary then.
Yeah, of course.
You know, but it was really now country. It was sounded very country. I play pedal steel guitar.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I still do. And so that was we look back at it, that was called contemporary Christian music.
It was.
In the 70s. But you came out with this sound that was, it was going around churches all over. Festival of Praise, they took that music into churches all over the world, all over the nation, for sure.
I think people realized that they could do it. I remember when we first got started, we took a set of drums into a church, I believe, and maybe up in Muskegon, Michigan. I'm not sure. But anyway, they said, "What is that?" And he says, "Well, it's drums. Well, are you going to use those in a program?" And I said, "Well, yes, they're an integral part of this." They said, "Not in this church."
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of like it was the devil's instrument. Well, none of music is the devil's. God created all of it. Mm-hmm. He owns all of it. Mm-hmm. And he can use all of it to glorify him.
Yes.
And, of course, we've learned that. There have been contemporary groups that are called contemporary now. That are way up on the Billboard charts, you know, the secular charts. And I'll never forget one of the, do you know, I probably shouldn't give the call letters. I'm not going to. There was a very big station. In fact, they were all over the country. And when our first record came out, it was on the Word label, and it was called High Time You Heard. We were kind of presumptuous in those days, you know, but it worked.
Well, it was marketing and it worked.
Yeah. And so it was so new and we were just, you know, we just, so anyway, we did this album and the number one Christian station and group of stations banned that record.
Oh, really? I did not know that story.
And I said to the program director one day, I said, "Why don't you play our music?" I said, "You know, if you don't, people will not hear it. They'll not know it even as this. Why don't you play our music?" He said, "It's just too contemporary."
Mm-hmm. Too worldly.
Is what he said. Yeah, he did use that word.
Yeah.
And I said, there's some songs in there that are, you know, we sing all the time in church, and there's iconic songs. Mm-hmm. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, you know, and I am thine, O Lord, you know, and how great thou art. Was just beginning in those days. And so I said, we've got all kinds of music on there. And I said, you could pick and choose whatever you wanted. And he said to me, yes, but they're on the same record.
Isn't that something? And you had to endure that. Now, a lot of people, it's easy, isn't it? For people to look back now at your life and you've been at the pinnacle of what people would think of as excellence. And I had never heard you tell the story before from any time that I've heard you speak, but this story of asking yourself, why can't we have that level of excellence for Jesus? Mm-hmm. Why can't it be for gospel music? Mm-hmm. And that's what God used you to help bring it. Now, here's my point. It's easy to look back on that and say, boy, I'm really grateful he did it. And now look, everybody over the world is doing it, coming to programs like what Calvary's going to have on December the 4th. But in the beginning, it was not so easy for you and you had to endure.
It was exactly that. You know, we had to go through things that you really shouldn't have to. That was just one example of how people viewed our music. But, you know, I said, Lord, you know, you can always pay for what you order. And I believe you ordered this. And so if we can't do it here, open another door. And one of the pictures that I prize, it's not a very good one because it was taken before Cameras were they were throwaway, and you know, you remember those
Polaroids and all of that.
Polaroid. I think this was a Polaroid.
Yeah.
And the depth of field was not great, but we were on a Billy Graham meeting. When the Billy Graham, huge crowd. I mean, the crowd goes on forever.
And you were playing music for it.
We were playing music for it, and I remember that. They had to very carefully choose what we did. Ted Smith and Cliff Barrows, they listened to it and they said, not this one, not that one, not that one. Maybe this, but have you got anything more? We had to, that's what it was. And, but slowly it gained an audience and, people began to copy, you know, and I don't look at that as a bad thing. I'm proud that people would want to do that. The World Action Singers from Oral Roberts University, they did television. They did a lot of our arrangements. In fact, Richard Roberts auditioned for the group So it was, you know, it slowly caught on, and it became normal.
It became the standard.
Yeah, and so I think the time that you introduced Larnell, at you were telling us, I don't forget if it was in the other segment, but anyway, that you introduced him at the Jesus Festival.
Yes.
Well, today, he is respected for what he can do and what he has done and his commitment over 50 years of singing all over the world on all kinds of television. As a matter of fact, he himself had the longest running television PSA in radio history.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, finish telling us about that one when we get back. We are up against a break right now. This is Afternoons with Mike. My guest today, a very interesting guest, Thurlow Spurr. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike on The Shepherd. What a joy to have Thurlow Spurr, really, truly a man that I have loved his music, his ministry for many, many years. Heard of him back all the way into the early 70s, actually, when he was doing the hard work of, he didn't realize it, pioneering a new sound, pioneering a new concept, a traveling choral group that was full of talented people. It was being done by Thurlow when it wasn't being done anywhere else, just quite like that. And that's really the concepts of a troupe, as you did, and coming up with these recordings where it would be excellent music. And, you know, I'm listening to you tell the story. It's hard to believe that you would have been looked at back then as saying, this is too worldly, this is too contemporary sounding for the audience, and yet today, that is the standard sound, and that's what you've done, and that's what a trailblazer does. Sometimes when you're a leader, you have to stand alone, and that's what you did.
Sometimes it's lonely there too, you know, it really is, and you have so much to take in consideration. But overall, as I look back on it, the people slowly began to understand what we were doing, and they loved our music, and it influenced them. Many of them, today's contemporary musicians, were kids.
Yeah, they were influenced by it,
so they've carried on, and of course it's. It's gone worldwide, and contemporary music is recognized as a Grammy
category.
Actually, Larnell, we were talking about Larnell.
Yes, I wanted you to finish that story.
Yeah, he had he was given 5 Grammys and multiple Dove Awards and Stellar Awards, but he did the longest running PSA in the history of radio. It was George W. Bush, program called Points of Light.
The Thousand Points of Light.
Yes.
Yes, that's it.
And he did the theme for that.
Isn't that something?
Mighty Spirit.
Yes.
And it's just amazing.
Yes.
You know, how things happen. That is a very, very personal, spiritual song. But they saw it as being a spirit of giving, mm-hmm. of doing, of philanthropy, mm-hmm. of getting involved in somebody else's life and someone in need. And so they asked him to do it. And he did, and we talked about it at length, and he did that. And I would be forever grateful that he did. Once in a while, it shows up now even, but they had about a 20-year run.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. Points of Light.
Well, he is a great singer, and you add him along with Sandy Patty and others. We got to see him at the, I think it was called Emmanuel. It was the name of the production.
Oh, yes.
And it came to the old arena here in mm-hmm. Orlando mm-hmm. a number of years ago, and he and Sandy, they both sang in it. And it was great seeing him again, but boy, what a time that is. And you're going to have them again virtually on this event at Calvary Orlando, December the 4th. You know, we should get the website out there. I think you have that on.
I do.
How people can write, or inquire by going online and check out how they can be a part of this great event.
Well, I'm glad we can do that because you do have to have tickets for this event, and you can go online and just put in Christmas is.
Into Google.
.us.
Oh, Christmas is .us.
US.
That's the website.
So Christmas is us.
Christmas is, that's good. Christmas is .us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you can get all the information on this great event.
All of it's there. The seating is there. You can pick your seat and a section that you want to sit in. And it's at 3:00 in the afternoon. So people can get home and do what they need to do in preparation for Sunday. We've got the Orlando Christian Chamber of Commerce mm-hmm. is promoting this. And I thank you so much for letting us come and tell people about it. The American Song Machine is a part of it. The orchestra, Santa Claus, is going to be there. Dancers, drama, Jerry Nelson, aerial artistry, the St. Louis Concert Choir, and Miss Kathy's Academy, along with virtual appearances by the Gaither Vocal Band, Sandy Patty, Larnell, and Dino.
And Dino.
Yes.
Now, I haven't heard from him in a while.
No, he actually... We did a tour. We played 22 cities with what was called the Big Three. That was Sandy, Larnell, and Dino. And what a combination. Mike, I'm telling you, it was a thrill.
Mm.
We had 200 voice choir around them, and they all did their best stuff. It was glory to glory to glory,
yeah,
you know.
It sounds like it.
And they did more than wonderful. And the other big duet that Sandy and Larnell had, which was I've Just Seen Jesus.
And that is equally good.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah.
And not everybody can sing either of those two songs the way Sandy and Larnell can do it. And
well,
they're gifted.
Yeah, they are. They are. And we're so proud to have them as a part of this, and they're going to be, they're just one segment mm-hmm. of this whole thing. I, you know, the opening is interesting. it's kind of a, it's called the Carol of the Bells, which is a well-known Christmas song, but it's done like Mannheim Steamroller would do it.
Oh, wow.
With all the electronics and instruments and so forth. And it is the way it unfolds in that wonderful auditorium at Calvary Orlando is just really unique. The lighting and everything for it is just, it's really unique. So that starts the show.
Oh, I can't imagine how great this program is going to be. Again, it is on December the 4th. We'll give you that website one more time in the toward the end of this segment. We've got a few more minutes. You mentioned this man who is a good friend, Bob Pickett. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned the St. Louis choir that he's worked with for years. Bob is an amazingly talented young man. What worked under you for a number of years, leading Festival of Praise.
Yes.
And Bob, his wife, was the first church secretary for the church that I moved down here to be part of.
Oh, my goodness.
In 1985. So through Paula, I got to meet Bob, and Bob and I became dear friends. And we share a common love for the St. Louis Cardinals, and that's great. But more importantly, he is one of the guys that's just been a dear friend for many, many years. And he left. It was hard to see him go when he moved to St. Louis to be part of Ron Tucker's gigantic church. But that church was used mightily of God back in the early movement of what we talked about earlier, the worship movement.
Yeah.
Ron Tucker himself was a worship leader on one of the original Hosanna projects that was out.
Oh, well, that church is a leading church, and as always, been at the forefront of what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And
Bob just has this ability to gather these world-class musicians around him.
Yes.
And turn out a production that is just marvelous.
His concert choir are all flying in to be a part of this, along with the people from Detroit. Actually, it's kind of like a whole countrywide congregation of musicians that are going to be a part of the 4th of December. And it's just, I'm so glad that Bob's there. He's been my partner over these years. And even though he's full-time at the church now, we're involved in this choir thing. And as a matter of fact, they're taking this same program and doing it in St. Louis.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
Yeah.
And he's so talented. And he's, again, like you, a very humble man. And I can't tell you how much fun this has been for me today to get to know you a little bit. And again, I've watched from afar, known your name longer than I can even believe. When I think back to those early days, I am so grateful that people like you, Thurlow, were willing to pay the price and to get that ability and to work as hard as you did, only for it to be told by some that you can't do that here. Mm. But you did it, and you honored God. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for the hard work. Mm. You know, that's something that a lot of people don't realize, that it's a lot of hard work to get to the level of what you've done.
Well, you know, the reward for it has been gigantic. I got an email yesterday from one of the young men, really talented guy. He's head of a missionary organization, and he took time to write me and say thanks for the start that we gave him in music. And they're all over. I was in an airport. I don't know if we got time for this.
We got it.
I was in the airport in Atlanta, and I had a tag on. I'd been at a conference, and I had a tag on that had my name on it, and it was crowded. We were waiting for a flight into Detroit. I was going to have a rehearsal up there, and this man just kept looking at me, and finally I smiled at him, and then he walked over, and he said, "Are you Thurlow Spurr?" And I said, "Well, I guess I am. That's what my tag says." And we laughed a little bit. And he said, "I got to tell you something. He said, you did a program in Detroit. And he said, during one of the songs, I gave my heart to Christ.
Oh, my goodness.
And he said, since that, I said, what are you doing now? He said, I am a part of the World Bible Society. And he said, I run one of the divisions of it. So here he is disseminating the word of God. He was saved in the middle of a song in a concert that I have trouble even remembering
right.
because of the number of them that there were. And so this email I got yesterday, I mean, this man is a head of an organization. And I'm trying to think of the name of, but anyway, they are a World Relief Organization. Mm-hmm. They are taking care of orphans and children who are just, I mean, they're so broken and so, they're so malnourished and, mm-hmm. and but he's, they're caring for them. And they've got thousands of them in all over the world. It's kind of like a World Vision kind mm-hmm. of thing, maybe a bit smaller, but mm-hmm. but nevertheless doing a great job.
Well, I can tell you that you've got many people that would feel that way about you. Mm-hmm. Your impact on them has been great. I'm one of them. So thank you for what you've done. Mm-hmm. This is a marvelous concert event. It's not a true concert, as Thurlow said. It's an event. This is a holiday event. It's called Christmas Is December 4th at Calvary Orlando. And you can get all the information, see who's going to be there by going to christmasis.us. Thurlow Spur, thank you. I can't tell you how much fun this has been for me.
It's been my pleasure and joy. And I just hope that people who are listening will come and be a part of this because it is an experience. In fact, they can call an 800 number. It's 1-800-993-SING.
Sing.
So, yeah. 1-800-993-SING.
That's great.
And someone will help them. But thank you.
You're welcome.
For what you're doing. And this is a marvelous experience for me. And Bob's going to be on.
Yeah, I'm hoping Bob will be here.
Yeah.
It's great. Thurlow Spur, my guest, thank you. And friends, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on Afternoons with Mike.